Chapter 25. 1440 hours. November 3, 2552, military calendar. Aboard the captured Covenant destroyer, Bloodied Spirit, in slipstream space. Fred sat on the bridge deck of Bloodied Spirit, breathing air tinged with the scent of hunter blood. It smelled like burnt plastic to him. He polished a tiny quantum mirror and set it back into its sensor housing. This he slipped into the pauldron of his Mjolnir armor and clicked the cover. The mirror had been encrusted with sea salt, causing his motion sensor to fail, and almost costing him his life back on Havana. Linda passed a canteen to Fred and sloshed its contents to get his attention. He accepted it, opened his faceplate, and enjoyed a taste of non-recycled water. Were the three of them on this ship, the last Spartans? Fred wondered if John was dead, or Kelly. There was no mention of Kelly in Dr. Halsey's communique. And what had ever happened to Gray Team on a mission far outside the confines of UNSC space, now missing for over a year? He would never voice these worries. It might sap Blue Team's morale, but for the first time, real doubt eroded Fred's confidence. Doubt that John, Kelly, and the others were alive. Linda touched his arm with a finger and dispersed these thoughts. She then patted the bullet-shaped nuclear warhead on the floor next to him. Remember? The rebel base? They'd brought one of the Fenris warheads up here in case they needed a final option. Fred didn't think they would need it, but it was best to cover all contingencies. What insurgent base? Will asked, rolling over and waking up.
It was 20 years ago, Fred explained. Rebels in the Tory system claimed they had nukes to trade. Blue Team was sent in to recover the warheads, but it turned out to be a trap. He shook his head. Would have worked, too, if it hadn't been for Kurt.
Linda took the canteen and hoisted it. To absent friends, she whispered and sipped. She passed the canteen to Will, who drank deeply. A red octahedral flashed over the Covenant command console. It projected amber beams onto the surface, and the holographic geometry shifted. The Spartans dropped their faceplates. Fred moved to the console, overrode the controls, but they reverted, seeming to have a mind of their own. Were their Covenant still alive on the ship, attempting to regain control? Translations scrolled across his datapad. Bloodied Spirit automated system activated. To battle sounded, heed the call to war. Warning, slipspace, anomaly, dimension YED-4 detected. Cause, singularity aftermath. Trouble, he told Linda and Will. Linda bounded to the weapons station and her hands moved over the surface. Making plasma lines hot, she said. I think. Laser capacitors charging. Will stood at the nav station. We're approximately 16 light years from Onyx, he said. No stellar systems or other significant bodies in the region. The slipspace matrix is deconvoluting. Fred tapped a hexagon. The slipstream space matrix reinitialization command. It blinked once and faded.
We're entering normal space, he said. Stand ready.
Stars winked on in the bridge's holographic viewer along with four Covenant ships. Three smaller ships gave chase to one larger. The small ones were two-thirds the tonnage of Bloodied Spirit. The larger ship was twice their size. The vessel's sleek outlines made Fred think of sharks hunting a whale. Lances of plasma flashed from the three and shimmered as they impacted on the larger ship's shields.
I think we dropped out of slipspace because of some anomaly, Fred said. Or, in response to a distress signal, I'm not sure which.
From what ship? Linda asked. Which one do we target first? The central holographic viewer faded, and a brute materialized standing before them with blue-gray skin, a gorilla head, and red feral eyes. He spoke in a series of grunts and hisses. A translation popped on Fred's datapad.
Brothers, the schism is here. We are free at last to crush the lesser races. We will no longer be led by...
The brute looked about the bridge, blinked, and then glared at Fred. It hissed and vanished. On the translation pad, a single word had appeared. Demons. One of the smaller ships turned toward them. Ultramarine spheres flashed over Linda's weapon console. "It's targeting us," she said.
"That answers that," Fred muttered. "Target the smaller ships. Will, get me a best guess slipspace transition vector to Onyx."
Fred had no intention of engaging in ship-to-ship combat. He was no captain. He'd be out of his depth if this were a UNSC ship with controls he could understand in astrogation, tactics, and weapon systems he was familiar with. On Bloodied Spirit, he couldn't begin to fathom how to fight. Running was the only realistic option.
"Working on a solution," Will said.
He glanced back and forth between the printed crib sheet of translated symbols and the Covenant mathematics that flashed before him.
"Time on target calculated," Linda announced. "Ready to fire plasma."
"Just buy us time," Fred told her. "We're not moving to engage."
"Covenant frigate now in weapons range," Linda said. "Plasma lines heating. They fired." On the central viewer, twin crimson lances streaked from the ship and arced toward them. Circles snapped on the tips of these lines, which then twisted into three-dimensional spheres. The holographic perspective pulled back and showed the frigate, the plasma, and their ship in their relative positions. The translucent spheres centered on the plasma shots and overlapped Bloodied Spirit.
"I think those spheres are steering solutions," Linda said. "They indicate how far they can direct the plasma bolts. They have us."
"Back us off," Fred told Will.
"Okay."
Will searched the controls. He grabbed an orange arrow and twisted it aft.
"Answering full reverse," he said.
"It won't be enough," Linda said. Linda placed both hands on her controls, and a new pair of spheres appeared in the field of stars.
"That's our firing solution," she whispered, and her voice cooled to that detached liquid nitrogen temperature that Fred had come to identify with her Zen no-mind state.
Fred consulted his console. 13 seconds until plasma impact, he said, and his hands gripped the edges of his console.
"Slipspace vector calculated," Will said. "Capacitors charging. In 23 seconds.
Linda made tiny adjustments over her controls and flicked her fingers forward.
"Plasma away," she said.
The bridge lights dimmed. The main hologram showed Bloodied Spirit as its lateral lines flared and plasma detached and accelerated away, but not toward the enemy frigate, rather toward the rapidly approaching plasma bolts. Steering spheres appeared on Linda's plasma lines. Her hands twisted and turned. The plasma oscillated back and forth in response. The enemy lines started to move as well. Fred understood what she was trying to do, fight fire with fire. But at these velocities, hitting one plasma beam with another was like shooting a bullet out of the air. Linda's trance-like motion slowed. The plasma bolts raced toward one another. The enemy's plasma veered out of the way. Linda brought her hands together in a blur. Both of Bloodied Spirit's bolts spiraled about the enemy's line of fire, tighter and faster, and connected. Three lines smeared into a blob, and jets erupted across the dark of space, fading to a haze of red.
"Got it," Linda whispered.
"The other bolt still tracking," Will said. "Impact in 2 seconds."
"Shields?"
Fred asked.
"Working," Will said.
"No, they're down."
The holographic viewers spilled blazing red light onto the bridge. Beneath the deck, the ship shuddered.
"Power loss across all systems," Will told Fred. "Slipspace capacitors draining from 98. Trying to reroute."
"Jump now," Fred ordered, "before we lose more power."
Underpowered slipspace transitions were technically possible. Over the last 30 years, UNSC ships had attempted such a maneuver twice. Both times, they succeeded transitioning into atomized bits. Fred hoped Covenant technology had a workaround for that problem.
"Aye, aye," Will said.
He tapped a control. The enemy ships and stars vanished from the viewer. The Spartans stood silent. Fred held his breath, unsure if they'd explode. The viewers went completely dark. It was silent. Slipspace parameters then streamed across Will's console.
"We made it,"
Will breathed. Fred exhaled.
"Good job," he told them.
He stood there dumb and mute as he worked through the undeniable logic of what had just happened.
What is it?
Linda asked. We were in slipstream space, he said, and answered a distress signal from a ship in combat in normal space. Linda nodded, and one of her hands nervously flexed.
So?
Will asked.
The Covenant can send signals in slipspace. So can we.
But not listen to those signals in normal space, Linda said.
They could have heard Cortana's message in Dr. Halsey's, Fred told them. They may know everything.
Shipmaster Voro clutched the rail of his command platform and shouted, Now! All thrusters, answer new course 180/000. Divert engine and shield power to the forward energy projector.
Answering new course, Zassis said.
The Incorruptible spun about. Its momentum continued to carry it forward. But now they faced the pursuing frigate pair. Oruo, at his operation station, called out,
Projector hot, sir. Target solution ready.
On my word.
Voro hesitated and listened to three beats of his hearts. One for faith, one for family, and the last for honor, the ritual mediation of the mendicant. The leading frigate fired lasers,
armor sections Prime 1 and Ventral 3 severely damaged, Igar announced with utter calm.
Stand by, Voro said.
He felt his junior officer's eyes upon him. They were wondering, perhaps, as he was, if he'd gone mad.
Let them come closer for the kill, Voro said. We have but one shot. Wait. Wait.
Both frigates, the Twilight Compunction and the Revenant, filled and blurred the edges of the holographic viewers, their lateral lines powering. A single normal energy projector shot could not by itself destroy a Covenant ship of war. It would obliterate shields, but it had to be followed by a plasma bolt to damage or disable. This was a tactic neutralized by the skillful maneuvers employed by a Jir'Halane frigate pair. They would shift to take alternate plasma hits efficiently, giving the pair an alternating energy shield. They could then combine firepower. If they made no mistakes, they were more than a match for the Incorruptible. This was the standard Covenant tactical thinking. Recent events, however, had shaken what Voro had considered standard behavior. This would be a gamble, but in Voro's estimation, their only winning option.
Now, Voro spat. Fire!
The overcharged energy projector sent a shudder through the Incorruptible. All their power, shields, engines, slipspace capacitor reserves channeled into a single burst from the projector. The darkness of interstellar space parted. The shields of the Revenant boiled and popped. The hull peeled away, bubbling as the beam penetrated through and through. The frigate was cut in half diagonally, ventral fore to dorsal aft, until it severed the starboard plasma line. Fire blazed along her surface and reached the main coils. The ship's aft section detonated, and her mid and fore sections tumbled away aflame and spewing smoke.
All weapon systems inactive,
Urul reported, as he stared at the destruction.
No power to maneuver, Zassis said nervously. Thrusters on standby.
The other Jir'Halane frigate veered away and continued to turn, presenting the flare of engine cones as it ran. After seeing the obliteration of its sister ship, the Twilight Compunction had no desire to face them alone. As Voro had hoped, the Jir'Halane were quick to act without thinking. They were savage, yes, but not suicidal. He counted his blessings that the Jir'Halane shipmaster hadn't taken the time to thoroughly scan the Incorruptible to assess her battleworthiness.
Repairs underway, Igar announced. All crews on task. Estimate 70 cycles until plasma lines ready.
Direct repairs to the coils and slipspace capacitors, Voro ordered.
A brilliant tactical maneuver, sir,
Zassis said, and bowed his head. Voro grunted.
Brilliant?
Desperate was closer to the truth, but Voro would never voice his feelings on this matter before his crew. Unvoiced, however, a mixture of shame and disgust rose in the back of his throat. He'd risked everything to win. Perhaps this was how Tano felt. The lives of his brothers in his hands on every mission, Voro felt unworthy to lead. He scrutinized the central viewer.
The Jirhalane frigate had headed toward the third ship in its battle group, the one that had turned to engage Bloodied Spirit.
They had intercepted the enemy's transmissions and seen the humans manning Bloodied Spirit. A disturbing revelation.
Zassis, Voro growled. You tracked the spirit as it jumped?
Yes, sir, he replied, and rechecked his console.
Only one stellar system on that vector.
Voro gritted his teeth and flexed his hands. Then at least, Bloodied Spirit could be hunted and destroyed.
Make ready to jump. We must warn our brethren of everything.